It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, 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 no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, out in the Sonoran Desert. We're at LA Hot. You know, but what we're doing is, it's hot for us, man. It's been a hot dealings with Christina Tobin, free and equal elections, the presidential debate. Now, I just got to say straight up front here. Let me get my pretty tie-dye. Grandkids did it, and then we're doing free and equal. I wear my tie-dye here. Let me find and there. All right. Now, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to look you in the face. Wait a minute, over here. I wanted to look you in the face, and I wanted to tell you, we've talked since the beginning of you doing this. We've been covering this for the 16 and the 20 election, now 24. Yeah, it was 16 and 20, right? And you went at it with a full confidence. You've done concerts. You've been on university campuses. We went to Texas and university campus there with you, with a bunch of other guys that we know and having a good time. You know, Berwick, Luke Radowski, Colin Cantrell, myself, others. I mean, you have put a lot in to this effort to have free and equal election debates. You have been dissuaded. You have been canceled on. You've been in lawsuits. You've got all kinds of settlements with, and university, and they, them, those, and Obama administration, Trump, it's been going on. And through it all, you have persevered. You've had moderators. You had Larry King, and now you got Congress Thomas Massey. I was like, what? And then I find out that it's at Freedom Fest this year with Thomas Massey having a, you know, alternative debate. The first things I wanted to mention is, one, good on you. I mean, you know, the fact that you've, you know, pressed on this to the point that it has become the third election cycle. It's going to be pressure on them to do whatever the heck they're going to do. To open it up a little bit for people to recognize that there are a lot of other candidates and parties and ideas in a ocean of control, censorship, and crap. You've been there as an example of, we're not going away. So I just want to give you props for that. That's the first thing right off the bat. The next thing, though, I want to ask you right off, and I'll get a proper introduction here with you in a little bit, but I want the audience right off the bat, they want to know, how in the hell did you score Thomas Massey? I want to know how that happened. I want to know about the Democrat and Republican candidates. Have they even responded to you? Because here we have Trump going to speak at the Libertarian National Convention. Yeah? Did he go free and equal debate? You know? So we're going to see. Tell us behind the scenes. We'll get into the history of free and equal, and we'll get into this. But right now, tell the audience how it is that this particular debate at Freedom Fest in Vegas with Thomas Massey and all the candidates came about, and then tell us about your interaction with Biden and Trump. Go.
Sure. It's been a journey. And Thomas Massey has been a moderator I've wanted to have for quite a few cycles. And I was asked this year to speak at the Libertarian National Convention. Freedom Fest, we've been allies with, I've known
Wait. You know, now we had so many problems with you connecting. Now we got two Christina Tobins. Okay, wait a minute.
Whoops.
There, I silenced one. Okay, now go.
Okay, good. Not sure why.
I know we couldn't get you. Now we got too many of you. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, likewise. We're on twice, too. But in any case, hopefully that's a little better of technology. So Thomas Massey, I was invited by the national chair, Angela McArdle, myself, and CEO, President Valerie Durham, to speak at the Libertarian National Convention. And I heard that Massey was going to be attending the LNC. So I met Matt Kibbe of Free the People, who's already in touch with Freedom Fest for Massey to speak there. And I think him being also offered to co-moderate this presidential debate with myself confirmed him, or he may have already confirmed, to speak at Freedom Fest. So I met him. I sat at the American Values table. They had a table right in front of where Robert F. Kennedy and Trump spoke. And I sat with them because my ballot access company helped get Kennedy on the ballot in several states for the super PAC, American Values. And so they walked me right over, one of their key people, to Mr. Massey. And I invited him to be a co-moderator. He had heard of Free and Equal Elections about a decade ago through Zach Carter and others, right, through coalitions and forums. And Mr. Massey said, are you really serious? You want me to, because, you know, Sassy Massey is Mr. Humble as pie, truly. Quite a confident individual, but so humble and kind. And the authenticity is just as pure as it can possibly be from a human being, I feel, on earth. That's me saying a lot in the political arena. And he said, do you really mean this invitation? And I looked over at the table nearby. I said, I have a folder right over there, Free and Equal, with a printout invitation specifically for you. I do. Can I grab it for you? He said, sure. And I handed it to him. And a day later, he said, yes, I'll co-moderate this debate with you. He gave me his direct contact information through his campaign advisor and team and himself. And I consider him a newfound friend and a huge ally. I think we're going to see a movement, as you know, rise beyond this presidential debate series that Free and Equal Elections is doing to replace pretty much every member of Congress with a whole bunch of Massey. So Donald Trump and Biden, we do have, what I'm hearing through the grapevine, some interest. In fact, anything's game. At this point in time, I think it might be more likely we get Trump to say yes before Kennedy, because Kennedy's so set on the CNN debate, which I think they will announce midnight tonight, excluding him. I hope they don't, but the writing seems to be on the wall. I'm glad he's putting up a great fight, FEC lawsuit, but CNN would probably take the fine and still have a debate rather than let him in, because Biden would not accept that. There would be no debate, be canceled. So that being said, we're in correspondence with the Trump campaign directly, as his team even last year inquired me about what it would take to get him on the ballot as an independent last October, because his internal team member told our team that they felt that he was going to be jailed potentially right before the RNC. And now that looks like, I hope that doesn't happen, but it looks like it's a possibility.
He was going to what?
So last October, a member of the Trump campaign reached out to my team asking what it would take to get him on the ballot as an independent for president. If you're going to start an independent ballot drive, you have to do it by February. Right. That's when the first deadline happens in Utah. And so in asking for that bid, which I submitted, they had told me that they felt Trump may or will be jailed before the RNC, which was shocking to hear last October. But now as we see things unfold, it looks like a possibility. I hope not. So in any case, we hope that Trump will be there. We hope that Kennedy will be there. Jill Stein, the Green Start Party, Dr. Jill Stein of the Green Party, she's confirmed. Chase Oliver of the Libertarian Party, he's confirmed, and Randall Terry of the Constitution Party. All three of those candidates are confirmed already for our debate, while we have four other candidates pending. Dr. Cornel West, independent, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., independent, Donald Trump, and Biden.
How do you select the criteria? At what point did you guys set a criteria? Who did? Based on what? What is it?
I've had the same criteria since 2008, opened it up a little more when I can, where you're on the ballot in enough states to be viably electable or receive 2% in national poll, because the ballot access for independents starts later. Doesn't start till February. and they don't finish up their ballot drives till about September, which is so late in the cycle of the year this year. So that includes the seven candidates that I mentioned. Now, Jill Stein hasn't been nominated yet, so I talked to ballot access expert, election law expert Richard Winger, and he recommended that if the nomination hasn't happened yet, to choose the candidates been nominated by the most delegate state parties. So Jill Stein's been nominated by over 213 or so state parties delegates, while Jasmine Sherman only 8 or so.
So your criteria is trying to keep it fair, trying to keep it open, trying to keep it viable. You know, you want to keep having these debates. And I'm wondering, what is your biggest support? Is it principled people just wanting to have it? Do they have an axe to grind? Do they got a candidate to push? Do they got, or hardly anybody is helping you and you're just doing it all on your own? How, where's the wind behind your sail?
This is our third presidential debate this cycle. In February, because we did a debate before the primary, we allowed the people to vote. We actually launched Powered by Nexus.io, Colin Cantrell. It's happening, Ernie. The whole vision you've known, you've followed for over a decade. Mm-hmm. We launched the first phase of our blockchain app, which over 330,000 votes were cast in ranked choice voting.
Real.
Voting in the top seven candidates for our February debate. So that reached millions. Broadcasted on Rumble, C-SPAN, Pacifica Network, and others. And now we have even more, those and more, that are on board for this July 12th presidential debate at Freedom Fest. That'll be July 12th at Freedom Fest. You can go to freedomfest.com and get a ticket for like $50 to attend the debate. It's got thousands in seating there. Your other part of the question, sorry, Ernie, it's been a long day.
Oh, man, I can add it to you too. You know,
oh, the fun. That's so important. So when we, in October, initially Jimmy Dore said he was going to be the moderator for our February debate. He changed his mind. He was really concerned Jill Stein and others wouldn't say yes. In any case, just him announcing it, and he brought Russell Brand. I went on Russell Brand. We raised 30, 40, 50, 60,000 online. And then individuals, particularly specifically Jason Palmer, Democratic candidate, he came to me and said, would you be willing to do a Democratic debate? And I said, sure. So I've never done that before. So our first debate was actually Democratic in January. And then February, Jason Palmer stepped in and others furthermore to help fund. And he came in and moderated with Kwame Jackson. And he won the American Samoa Award, Jason Palmer, running as a Democrat for president, philanthropist. And the support for this July debate, our production is really high level. The January, February debate, that same production team will be rolling in and coordinating with Freedom Fest July 12th. Our support has now shifted. We have been backed by leaders and influential leaders through the Ross Perot movement. I am so grateful. Yeah, to be so supported. And we are already going to be announcing July 12th at the end of the presidential debate that our next debate will take place September 5th. So this is the third stop, July 12th for the presidential debate series, and the fourth presidential debate will take place September 5th, probably in Los Angeles, but we'll see.
Why would you think that Trump would or would not participate?
Well, let's see what happens with the trial on the 11th. Physically, I hope he's able to participate and he's not in jail. Anything's possible with the corrupt judicial system that is attacking him. And
yeah, let's talk about, you've had experience with the election crap and weapon of DOJ court system garbage. What are we up against? What have you realized as you've done this? So you and I have had lots of long conversations in person and on air, you know, about this process that you're going through. Somebody had to do it. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you stayed with it. I'm glad that you've been successful in, you know, having this done, you know, for people to see that you can do this. Well, my biggest concern is the legitimacy of anybody that wouldn't make themselves available to debate alternative candidates that do have enough on enough ballots in states that have a possibility of getting enough Electoral College votes to be president. When RFK Jr. announced that he was going to run as an independent, immediately, I'm sure you had the same impact or the, you know, sigh that I did. You have no idea what you're getting into. I don't think he understood the difficulty, the deadlines, the requirements for him to get on the ballot in enough states, or certainly in a majority, you know, of them, or you know, more than he has. What do you think that he thought? And you talk to a lot of these third party candidates, independents, people of wealth that want to, you know, I get to have a say and where do I send my check and, you know, whatever. And then the partisan stuff, there is an enormous hurdle for a candidate to get on to even participate in your alternative debate. Where is RFK Jr. now? Do you know? Because this is your bailiwick, is, you know, ballot access. So what do you think where he's at now? And did he understand what he was getting into?
I'm going to give you a direct answer that if he really understood what he was getting into, I would have been hired as national ballot coordinator. Unfortunately, they chose another individual in the industry that has not a good reputation, and I did everything I could for the role and was not chosen. Having successfully gotten independent Ralph Nader on the ballot in 2008, I know firsthand the Herculean task of what it takes to get
938,000.
Herculean task, and it's 938,000 signatures to get an independent on the ballot. So there's a reason why Donald Trump's team inquired me to get him on the ballot, because Trump only hires the best. And I think what Kennedy is going to learn this time around is that you've got to put friendships aside and people that may have things going on in their lives, whether it's alcoholism or challenges. You got to hire the best for your industry. And and those of utmost accountability, and when you're running the first time around, you can only do your best. And what he's achieving is astronomical. You can't do much better than what he's achieved as his first round running for president. So good on him. So I hope that they succeed in getting on the ballot. I'm unsure if they'll be able to. If anything brings them over the top, it's going to be the volunteer effort that will help them cross the finish line, not so much the paid effort. So I wish them the best of luck. And regarding the debates, Kennedy did tell me last year, I guess I'll see you at your debate, and even offered to reach out to Joe Rogan to moderate. But then he changed his mind, and he can do that. He decided that he wanted to just debate Donald Trump. And this is the same mentality I've been dealing with since 2008, when Free and Equal hosted the first presidential debate. Bob Barr, Libertarian, said, I'll only do a debate with Ralph Nader. And Ralph Nader came back and said, well, I'll only do a debate if Bob Barr is there. So I kindly explained to both of them, how are you being any different from the Democrats and Republicans who are excluding you? Now you, Bob Barr and Ralph Nader, are excluding the Constitution Party and the Green Party and so on. And so this is the mentality that I've had to struggle with. It happened in 2016 as well. In 2012, Gary Johnson, Libertarian, Dr. Jill Stein were in our debates. Larry King, tens of millions, the most exposure they got their entire campaign. But come 2016, they forgot their roots. Dr. Jill Stein temporarily forgot her roots, because she's come back around full circle with our debate series. But they decided to do a debate with just the two of them, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. And so they didn't want to include at that time the other parties. And I'm running into that same situation with Robert F. Kennedy. But if and when he's likely excluded from the CNN debate, I welcome him as equally as I do all seven candidates to participate in our debate at Freedom Fest, which will not be about people. I will not allow the candidates, moderators, candidates to attack one another. Personal attacks are not allowed at our debates. We're here to have a conversation.
Oh, no, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to focus on Trump, and they're going to hit the lead. Same old crap.
Our debate, but CNN, yes.
I want to see Christina hold the line. You go, girl. I want to see it, you know?
Thank
but
you.
I'm telling you, the candidate.
Thomas Massey.
You know, I think
you know
Thomas
might join us. We have a third moderator. She may say yes in another day or two, and she may say no, but I think she's going to do it.
Who?
I think it's going to be Tulsi Gabbard. So, fingers
crossed. Hey, that'd be cool. All right. You get some attention. Yeah, you know, who won the debate? The moderators. You know, this is going to be, you know, interesting. God, I wanted to ask you a whole bunch about the different individual candidates, but that probably wouldn't be proper. My biggest thing is where do you see free and equal going in the next election cycle, in the next one? I went through I'm old enough to remember when it was the, League of Women Voters and so on. And their big thing was, you know, we're bipartisan. Well, we threatened suit in Arizona as libertarians because their 501c3 is based on being nonpartisan. Well, they weren't. No, we're Republican and Democrat. Screw the rest of them. And we're going, wait. That is not, you know, the criteria. You can't be partisan even if you pick two, because it's this two-party system thing. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. I mean, they didn't care. You know, as long as it supported the system, you are a threat to their system. When the League of Women Voters finally became obvious, certainly here in Arizona, it was a bunch of men, you know, and they were doing what they were doing. And I'm going, this is so, everything's such a lie. The difference is the internet. When I started in the late 80s, early 90s, as a young man going through this stuff, they would get away with a bunch of stuff that they don't get away with anymore. Now I'm starting to find out, when people find out what's really going on and who's doing what and what they said, and then they renege and all this kind of stuff, it's getting to the point to where you still got sociopaths, don't care. Yeah, screw you. I lied. So what? What are you running up against? Is there any principle in there for America, the democracy part of this republic? Do you got Gabbard and Massey kind of setting a new standard? Because Massey can take care of himself. I mean, you put that boy in a hearing, he's going to whip your butt. So I'm just wanting to know, what is the attitude towards this? Are you just another hurdle they got to negotiate, something that they're going to take advantage of? Or are they really, truly trying to, you know, bring the American people into it? What's your sense?
I didn't get your question there at the end, Ernie.
Well, you know, my thing is that, are they doing this for however it can benefit them, and then they'll throw you away the next election cycle, or are they?
Oh, they candidates.
Well, yeah, the candidates, the system. I'm just getting the impression that they never act in, you know, the interest of the American people, or what's fair, or what's equal, or what's
they,
you know,
do specifically.
I'm sorry.
They being who?
The candidates, the system, people? The parties. They're the people that you're wanting to have cooperation to go to your debate.
About.
They don't want to. They only go to your debate if they feel that it advantages them in some way. What is that way?
I mean, always direct with you. There's going to be even better leaders rising in the future. I think Thomas Massey is in a league of his own when it comes to ceasefire and no war and peace and no, because he votes what the people want, the majority, I strongly feel. So I keep my eye on that light at the end of the tunnel, that there's someone like Thomas Massey that actually got into office. And when we kick off the United We Stand tour here after the debate series wraps up October and kicking off, we'll actually have one of our stops at Freedom Fest next year for United We Stand tour. You better believe we're going to invite an individual like Thomas Massey to keynote and really inspire and ask people to run for office, to run for Congress. There are a lot of them out there that have the purity of heart where compromising is not an option. And that's the world that I've lived in. They just need a platform to be heard on. And that's where the tour comes into play, and the blockchain app that will list every single one of the candidates running for office into the app and truly give them a free and equal chance of winning. So much bigger vision. At the end of our July 12th debate at Freedom Fest, you can go to freeandequal.org, by the way, freeandequal.org, and you can sign up for the live stream. It's open source to everybody, free to the world. But at the end of that debate, July 12th, the people will be able to go on their phones and vote via blockchain voting their favorite candidate. And we will eventually be incorporating polls and so much more, online debates, congressional debates. We only replace a few hundred seats of Congress with a whole bunch of Massey. That's it. And then the real change happens. We'll see the power shift from the federal, state to even local levels. And what's happening to Trump is, I don't want to fall into a world of fear, but it's troublesome because I live in a world of love is greater than fear. I have to with what I do. And that truth prevails, and integrity is, truth is on our side, historically speaking. But what they're doing to Trump, what they did to Roger Stone, you know, what they've done to Julian Assange, Snowden, it's all an orchestrated attack, I feel, by the two-party, really one-party system. And so the powers that be, that paradigm, they're fighting back. And sure, Ukraine, Russia, riding on the wall to shift toward nuclear. We're going to stop that because people don't want chaos. People don't want to feed and fund the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industry. Oh man, we have so many healing plants and medicine on the horizon. We get the right people in Congress and then eventually all levels. We're going to stop fighting against the seemingly not even divisive issues. We can really unite, and we'll really unite on many more issues than not in building the new paradigm.
Well, that is not what is desired by they, them, those. They don't want us united. They don't
replacing
want
them.
Okay.
Right.
You know,
replace them.
Well, I'd like to have
peacefully
a bunch of people replaced, but it hasn't happened. Why?
Because the people have to come together around an idea, and individuals, it's meant to be that the Ross Perot leaders are gravitating towards this movement. The money that I earned from the ballot access drive for American values, I used a lot of that, most of it, to kick off this presidential debate series. I was thinking of other ways it's funding. I funded it myself through my ballot work. And so when the people come around an idea, the debate series is just a launching pad. It's music. Music is the healer. And Dr. Ron Paul, gosh, he's getting up there in age, and I wish I could just take 10 years off of him because he has done so much, and the Ross Perot and the Anderson and Ralph Nader and even the Jesse Ventura and so, you know, different ways have paved the way for something so much greater and so much bigger. And the system, most members of Congress are most 80 years old, Ernie. Like, that time is, they're not going to be here on Earth much longer. And when we get a majority of people like Massey's elected to Congress, they're going to be term limited out. You know, it's going to be a duty to run for office. It's not going to be a career. And this is much more achievable. The system wants to lead us to believe that it's harder than what it is. And that's why I'm in the role, because giving up is simply not an option.
You know, I appreciate you saying that giving up's not an option, but I'm not giving up. I just don't have faith in the electoral process system. And the fact that you do so much and you're really pushing on this, I'm wondering what motivates you, you know, what you're expecting, you know, what you're willing to spend the rest, and you're young, you know, younger than me. I used to be Christina Tobin age, but you know, as time goes, I'm wondering, what are you expecting to change? It's not like you're changing, you know, the fundamentals of the Constitution inside of, it's another plantation by which they're going to rule us. You know, I give you an example. Butler Schaefer, a constitutional law professor at Southwestern University, LA there. He was always a welcome guest. He was our partner, Mark Victor, you know, partner on the Freedom Summit. He was one of his law professors. So he's always on Lou Rockwell. So on, he died a few years ago, But he goes, that Constitution is just a piece of paper that's supposed to prevent the government from doing all the stuff it does. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, we have this ideal. We have this promise. We have this Declaration of Independence. We give you all these reasons why I break with thee, I break with thee. Then we do this Bill of Rights so that all this power, you know, the three branches of government, you get the legislative, executive, and judicial all lined up against the rights of the individual. You find yourself in a free speech zone, unarmed. I mean, you know, that's how it works. So for looking at that, and the history and what's actually happened and the amount of money and effort and generations in education and trillions of dollars in public school and propaganda from the DOD and on, COVID, lockdown. I mean, I can go on and on about how bad it really is. Christina, the solution to all that is what?
I don't live in a world of expectations. I've learned to release a timeline. This took me decades in the making to get there, and it's been recent years or so. And so I can simply continue to do my best. And, you know, having met and spoken with, that is, Santita Jackson, the daughter of Jesse Jackson. Jesse actually has sent his support towards our debate series and our tour. And what radiates from her and many other civil rights leaders is hope. And I do very deeply believe in hope and change. And you're here today because you deeply in your heart do as well. I would never challenge that with you, Ernie. We fix it. That's it. And there are a lot of flaws, so we fix it. There's an electoral, arguably rigged, flawed system, so we fix it. We get leaders into office that repair the harm that gerrymandering causes. We get leaders into office that say, we're not going to have electronic voting machines that are controlled by Diebold Dominion powers that be. And the list goes on and on. We fix it. And here through Free and Equal Elections and our blockchain app, we'll be inviting electoral reform experts on our stage throughout the United We Stand tour so we can provide the tools and the expertise and the information to the candidates that are going to get elected, starting with the congressional races in 26, accountable across the board into all levels, for all levels. So we see beyond that as party lines here at Free and Equal Elections. I personally have never been a supporter of political parties, and frankly, I never will be. I see a lot of candidates using party lines, like Trump, using the Republican Party line, despite your personal viewpoints or your feeling on his viewpoints. And I see a lot of candidates using party lines to get elected. But as a truly independent movement rises, with technology being the game changer and the blockchain ledger, essentially, I foresee transforming our elections and bringing about political transparency. As that rises through an idea that once it comes, nothing's going to get in its way, we're going to see our elections truly transform from a paradigm outside of the current corrupt system. And this larger, pure new paradigm is going to come in and take it all over.
You know, the best that I can do to you know, dovetail into that is I'm of the opinion that it's always general public opinion. What you're doing is to help manifest, express, give an opportunity for people to share what their general public opinion is. I can't imagine it being I've been surprised it's been so successful. It's like, oh, well, we just got two-party system. That's Republicans and Democrats. They don't matter. They can't not, and we're not going to do it. And well, they got away with that because they got away with it. I remember in 2004, I was running against John McCain for U.S. Senate, and we're in the editorial board, and they're going, wow, they want to get some controversy. Oh, Ernie, what do you got to say to John, you know, about how bad he is about something? What I'm going, are you kidding? So I look at John McCain, I go, you the man. I go, we got a war in this, and the economy's this, and the housing's that, and the government, and you haven't even talked to anybody except now after they started early voting. You the man. But then I looked at the editorial board and all the photographers and the 30 whatever people wanted to come see the show, and I go, but you guys suck. How do you think he gets away with this stuff? It's you. So I don't blame the individual candidate. They're just insulation. They're just side effect. They're just selected, you know, based on, you know, how many trips they went to Epstein's Island. You know, this is, we're talking about bad people targeting bad people to be bad for them. And we suffer. And at some point, there's a solution. At some point, I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and they throw dog poop on the government's shoes and, you know, we're done. So when does that happen? It's happening now. And Trump, in my opinion, we do the Trump report every Thursday since the summer of 15. This has been, God, 9 years or something. And we just finished it before you came on. And it goes at least 2 to 5 hours every Thursday. And it covers everything. Politics, entertainment, movies, culture, whatever. But Trump was a side effect. Is free and equal debates a side effect? Is it a make them obsolete thing? Is there a goal? Is it to hold a mirror up to something? Why were you so passionate about having an alternative debate? Because I want the audience to know, I've known Christina Tobin for, a dozen years, a while. And what's happened is I was very supportive of her doing this because it needed to be done. But you got a young, beautiful woman out there, literally by herself oftentimes, pushing this. And there has to be some optimism, some goal, some measured making some progress, making friends, doing something. Money you make in politics, you put right back into it. Now, I know your father was a politician, libertarian, philosophical kind of guy. We've talked to him before. And I'm wondering what it is that would be your success. Boom, we win. I got what I wanted. This is, we're on the right path. We're doing, give me something that for the audience, I know you've had a lot of successes in your way, but your ultimate goal is to what? Created a debate series that's totally devoid of.
Well, my father would unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. Mm. And it was about a month or two after he decided to take the vaccination. I strongly advise him not to, and right. Sent him all the documentation for that, the freedom of choice, which was surprising he did. He actually fought against tax increases for 45 years. In 76, he led property tax increase, led the stop is of the income tax in 76, and bringing the people together resulted that he didn't have to pay the income tax that year. And my father taught me about the origins of the Constitution, and our founding fathers were anything but perfect, amending the Constitution to enable and allow the income tax, Federal Reserve, and taxes, which fund the war, to be implemented. What I hope for is peace and love and less chaos. And again, I don't get attached with expectations. If I have this expectation of it's got to happen at this time, this way, life's going to pass me by and my time here on earth and last breath will go so quickly, and I'll be so attached to an expectation that I won't be able to enjoy the present moment of nature and arts and jewelry design that I love doing, traveling to Bali, Indonesia, going to the ocean, which is my next, pretty much outside my door. I can hear the waves in the morning out here on the West Coast. And so my hope is simply to make the world a better place. I lean on experts like yourself that have the, though I've intentionally and through surroundings been around and hearing more independent media during the day, morning, day, I also know how to tune out, because if I allow myself to get too much into it, I'm not going to compromise my hope and my well-being and my positive outlook on things and let it to be compromised or influenced by seemingly manipulative, psychological indoctrination of the media and Hollywood and music industry. And I gravitate and intentionally learn from and listen to individuals like yourself or me, and so much independent media out there, to the Kim Iverson and Clayton Morris of Redacted, and so many more, and Steve Bannon, what's happening to him, by the way, in the war room, wrongful to put him in jail for 4 months. It's very upsetting. So I'm here to create a protective shield to bring these leaders together. So Trump and Bannon and Assange and so many others, Robert F. Kennedy, should they jail Trump? Who knows what they'll stop at? I don't even want to put that out there towards Kennedy. I knew one day that our leaders, our speakers, our independent media would need a platform that is so deeply rooted and so trusted and on a blockchain, decentralized ledger. I want everything to be seen, finances, all that. It's so pure. And to have something to shield them so they can voice their opinion, their ideas, because the wrongful censorship, what's happening with TikTok, I'm glad Rumble's trying to buy out TikTok, is my, what I last heard. Love Rumble and what Elon's doing with X, but it is very troublesome. So again, fortunately, history is on our side. And this is why I haven't stopped, Ernie, because my conscience in the last 10 days my father was here alive on Earth, he had continued working to the very end. And he passed away at 76, and he said, ah, the spirit of 76, of course I would go, 76 years of age. He said, but how can I go? We don't have freedom yet. And I said, Dad, pass the baton to me. It's my turn. You know, I'll do what I can while I'm here on Earth to achieve freedom. And I'll be already more than willing to pass that baton on to others for them to do what they can to spread freedom. So I'm simply a ripple and a wave, an ocean. And I hope to inspire many more to spread their ripples as well.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I got to attest, I've witnessed Christina's efforts over the years. And you know, I don't want to be a wet blanket. You know, I've went through the same thing. You know, I mean, I put forth a lot of effort. We still do. But it's towards once you get a fair, equal pre-election, you have accurate, you got, you know, no computers and purple fingers or whatever it is, that you are confident that it is an accurate representation of the people's choices for the representatives in the republic. Then you get to the point, yeah, but should we be voting anyway? You know, how much can we vote? Can you vote away something from somebody to give, redistribute because we voted? I mean, you know, so, but we can't get to that point of even discussing this until we have an accurate, free, equal election. And it seems that that is what's in the way. They, them, those that won't leave us alone. They, them, those that are going to take any and everything they can because they can. Why do they steal from us? Why do they rob? Why do they kill? Because they can. Because it benefits them and they don't care about you. So that's my next question. We have these people that you associate with in politics a lot, because that's where they're at. They gravitate towards power, and they want to use it for control. A lot of times, money is just another mechanism to control, because a lot of these guys got more money they can, you know, burn anyway, you know. But it's not really about that. It's about control. It's about the controlling of the masses, the controlling of the people, the death, dying, and destruction of. You're doing it wrong, we're going to do it better, as if it was a religion and they're working up to be in the front row in hell or something. You know, these people are not right in the head. I learned that early on. I didn't know what to call it until not a few years ago, several years ago, as we were the 16 campaign. So I had to be like, you know, around there sometime. That what we're looking at is people that have no empathy or compassion. They don't care. They're sociopaths. How do you defend yourself and your program and your effort against that? Or do you have to kind of contend with that a little bit and you write good contracts? So I'm just wondering, this sociopathic lack of empathy and compassion, of which you're an empathetic, compassionate person, how do you exist in that? And do you even recognize it?
I mean, the shield of what we do, I said, creating a protective shield, we don't attract candidates like that. The kinds that are of that mindset, that mentality, the sociopathic, narcissist, when you say it's about control, I think it comes right back down to back to money. Money, money, money. The more control they get, the more money they get, greed. And so that is such a small percentage of the people in the world, and they just happen to be in seemingly powerful positions of a few hundred, spot positions of Congress and different levels of office. And so at free and equal election, those candidates are beholden to the powers that be. They aren't interested in being our platform because our platform is not about greed and money. They don't make money being on our platform. They're going against the ones that are their puppets, their strings, that control them. So I see those people peacefully resigning, not running again, going to be passed away. Congress is very old, and that old paradigm is putting up a strong push and trying to push the button of a nuclear war because it's their last resort. So we have only so much time to take away that power of that button, and we have to. As long as I'm here breathing and on Earth, I will always ho have hope and do my best to achieve that while also loving life and surrounding myself with people I love and like-minded individuals is so important. And working with people and being aligned with people like Thomas Massie and Tulsi Gabbard, Jill Stein coming back around full circle to be a part of our series. I'm grateful for that. She learned from 2016, I feel. And she aligned herself with, a sociopath, David Cobb. That should not have been the campaign manager for her in 16, but she was learning, and she's not like that. And so we're here to shine a light on what's real and what isn't real at free and equal elections, so individuals don't have to be held back. Kennedy has a great team. Could he have better people on his team? Absolutely. And if he ever ran again, he's older, I think he would know. Have a better idea of how to structure his team, but he's doing such a great job for his first cycle. So I hope that answers your question, that it's not of any concern, because those individuals just really have no role in what we're doing. They're going to be replaced
Okay, the date
peacefully.
that you have is July 12th. July 11th is
Yes.
Trump's sentencing, okay, the day before. So I'm just like, okay. This whole thing as it's played out, I'm wondering what you think is being gamed. I mean, the timeline is, the Trump Biden debate on June 27th, the CNN thing. You guys have yours July 12th, so that's, right after the day he's going to get sentenced, he's going to go to jail or not. We'll see. July 15th to 18th is the Republican National Convention. You have August 19th is the DNC's, but the DNC passed new rules that whoever, if Biden goes away, which is, I can't imagine him not,
You mean
that
the CPD, the Commission on Presidential Debates?
I'm sorry.
August 19th, you said the CPD, the Commission on Presidential Debates?
I got August 19th to the 22nd is the Democrat National Convention in Chicago.
Oh, I'm okay. That makes sense.
So
Excuse me.
the but the thing that's interesting is they changed, they did a rule change that any candidate who drops out after the convention, gets replaced by the DNC. I'm thinking, I have been saying forever, they go, oh, well, this person, Newsom, Michelle. And I'm going, what makes you think Hillary Clinton is gone? That woman is, she's got some issues, and she is not going to be happy until she gets to be president. And then I fear the decade of that. But the, so this timing of Trump, his court cases, his sentencing, the Republican National Convention, and all of that, how much do you guys coordinate with these kinds of dates? Or do you just, whenever as many as you can have and whatever's available and opportunist, how many debates can we have? How much coordination do you do?
I mean, this funding, each debate at the level of production that we did in January and February debates, each debate costs upwards and over a quarter of a million each. And this debate, July 12th, will as well. So we're already landing, and I'm excited so early on for us. The next debate will be September 5th. The ABC debate takes place September 10th, should that happen. So we're having our September 5th. It works better for our moderator, one of our moderators we already have locked in, tied to the Ross Perot movement for the September 5th debate. So
Yeah, we were heavily involved in the Ross Perot thing, but not for Ross. It was ballot access. I was more like Christina. You know, I was like, look, man, this is messed up. And I had a lawsuit that went to the Ninth Circuit on election law and all that kind of stuff because of this. And in 92, the Ross Perot people, United We Stand, you know, did their thing. And I didn't know that they were still interested in politics. And what degree do you, is it United We Stand, the same thing that they had before?
I mean, subconsciously, I chose that name out of a place of heart, and Ross Perot and many others, it's not a new name. It's just hasn't been taken to the masses as at the level what Perot did to then, but we got to keep it going for decades. And
well, I'm just wondering, I knew you'd done that because you had United We Stand, you know, events and so on, but that's what they called it back in 92. So what? Make America Great Again is a, you know, Reagan, Clinton, Trump thing. So, you know, whatever. But the point is that are they involved as a continuation of the group from 92 and 96, or did it reconstitute or different name? What?
Oh, this was created 8 years ago through Free and Equal Elections when I heard Ron Paul say, if we are ever going to bring about revolutionary changes, I drop the R and say evolutionary changes. He said two things would need to be involved, the youth and music. Yeah. And so we've been doing this for 8 years. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was our keynote speaker at our last United We Stand Festival. The venue actually canceled him. I've been through that, as you know, with UCLA in 14. The venue tried to cancel days out, and I changed venues, and Kennedy was our keynote. So, but Ross Perot movements and leaders are coming individually of what Perot did in 92 and coming on board and supporting our movement as well. So thanks for clarifying.
Oh, okay.
It just happens to be that he used the same name, and subconsciously, maybe I know what knew that when I created it 8 years ago. I just don't know, but great. It's meant to be.
Well, United We Stand, hell, it's on. I don't know, isn't it on our money somewhere or something? I mean, you know, it's not like that
there's
original. I mean,
yeah.
So this is, you know, before we leave, I wanted to give the audience an opportunity to hear from you about your optimism for America in general. This is not just America that's going through this stuff. You look at the election results for the last couple of weeks in Europe, all over the place. You know, the candidates, the leaders of state and everything, they're getting their butts kicked. You know, there's a populist move. There's a worldwide thing going on. And as they're going towards, you know, central bank digital currencies, there's going to be a war. They're threatening to, you know, senior citizens are having to go back to work. They're doing a draft. You know, they're unregistered draft. You don't even have to write. We got to take care of it. Don't worry about it. Oh, and it's men and women. None of you guys are going to say, well, I identify as a woman. I don't have to go now. No. You going too, okay? So this is a lot of big issues that I remember. This was the beginning of the Libertarian Party back in the early 70s. You know, when this happened, it was, you know, Nixon comes in, there's wage and price controls, the economy is going to crap. What got Ron Paul involved, they got off the gold standard. You know, they said, all right, we're going to do the petrodollar. The petrodollar is going right now. Saudi Arabia is going, we're done. You know, we're using some bricks and give us gold and whatever. So it seems, and war and draft and all, everything that was when I was in junior high and just kind of aware of all the stuff going on, and of course, you go back in history, is happening right now. This is it. And I feel like the four horsemen of the apocalypse are, you know, mount up, regulator. You know, here we have, you know, what is it always? First, it's war, which causes famine, which causes pestilence, and then death. So for Christina Tobin and Free and Equal having this optimism and participation and doing the right thing because it's the right thing is very inspiring and hopeful. But I got to be careful. You get a big giant dose of hopium, you know, going, woo, one more time. And something has to break. Something has to be fixed. Something has to happen But if it's not in the atmosphere of you doing what you're doing and setting an example of what can be and providing an opportunity for this democracy thing to even have a chance or give some window dressing to it, we're going to keep spiraling down into the abyss. So I'm very glad that you're there and you're doing what you're doing. I am supportive. But everybody, the immense vapor cloud that you're in of evil malintent, I don't envy you. And I'm wanting you to address that and how you navigate and negotiate that in your life.
Yeah, it's been a breath of fresh air working with the Freedom Fest team, because there's minimal to no politics in it and putting on an event, and also within our internal Free and Equal Elections team. So beautiful. Everybody communicates so well and they care so much about our country. So I'm able to really navigate and choose who I surround myself with in this industry now that I'm at the level where I am an expert in what it is that I do, and moderating debates and putting on festivals. And I surround myself with experts in production. Our producer actually produced the Clinton inauguration to Taylor Swift's music videos and concerts. It's that diverse. And Santita Jackson confirmed to open our debate July 12th with the national anthem. Her father, Jesse Jackson, she sang the national anthem at Clinton's inauguration. So that's how I navigate. It was challenging. Some years I thought I would not continue doing this, and I pick up the phone and I don't have tears too often, but I have had it half a dozen times or so, with Richard Winger, election law ballot expert, who has testified in over probably 400 cases to better our ballot act laws the last 40 years. And we still have a way to go, but I told him, I said, I'm not made for this industry. This is shark infested political world. Like, can I please go to Bali and keep designing my jewelry and have a little retail shop where I live in Cambria, California, and just around the design and arts? But my conscience would not allow me to stop, because I didn't see anyone else doing it. And I am a Tobin, my father, relentless. Even Ralph Nader's told me, most people give up, but you keep going. He told me, most people give up, they stop at, you know, first, second base, but you keep going.
Well, what's the reward for you to keep going? I know you will. That's you, but why? You know, what is it that satisfies your hunger? It's the fear of not doing anything, the fear of what will come if you stop, the hope that you're going to attain what you want, the fact that you would feel bad emotionally if you weren't putting forth your effort. What is it that drives you?
It makes me happy doing this, because the deep and dive, the more I get to dive into it, I get to be around more people like Thomas Massey. I mean, how cool is that? And Ernie, in the future, I know I can trust deeply in the network, and my phone will be always available to you to tell me what's really going on in the world and what's not, what's real, what isn't real, because there are some people who don't do that, but there's a trust I have with you and a handful of independent media that have always navigated through shark infested waters. You've been able to keep that boat afloat and on focus and on track and par, however the words, and so throughout this journey. So
thank you. There's one question I wanted to ask. I'm glad I remembered it, because I made a note. I wanted to ask this. This is going to be broadcast live on Rumble, right? It's Rumble. Is that the deal? How did that come about? Is there any Rumble negotiation?
Yeah. No. Our debate was broadcast live January and February. They put us at the top of the site February, and they're doing the same for the July 12th debate.
Why?
How does it happen? They believe in what we're doing.
They who?
That's why.
You know, when you go, hey, we're gonna put you on the top of Rumble.
All I have right. to pull up their names.
Who do you send the fruitcake to?
Like five of them.
Who do you send the fruitcake to? I want to know who's the person that decided.
when you're doing the right things in the world, C-SPAN's on board to broadcast the entire series now. And we just brought in Scripps News. There'll be, I think, six different, I don't even know, syndicated platforms will be implementing commercials into this debate. So that'll be a thing. And we spoke with Epoch Times going international. So they're at Freedom Fest and they've got a huge email list. And I think they'll be promoting as well, Pacifica Network. Daily Caller, we'll have an op-ed come out in there soon. And Zero Hedge is writing. I'm also in touch with mainstream media. I've been interviewing with New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, ABC, about my work with Robert F. Kennedy's Super PAC, American Value, which was a great experience overall. And I've told them all, I said, don't become a hub of the DNC, like cover this debate series, kind of laughing with them. They do get blocked by their editors, but those journalists want to cover this debate series. So it's a business. If they want to stay in business, they're going to need to cover the new paradigm.
Okay, before
so,
you, let's talk about that. When you say their editors don't want, the publications don't want, there's some, why don't they want it? It's not newsworthy enough. I mean, it's got somebody, it's pharma, you know, buying ad advertising. Yeah, it's the money thing.
That's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on who's funding which media, but it's money.
Yeah, I really, over the years, have gotten that it's more than money. It's a control thing, but it's also like a religion. I mean, these guys are bucking for the most evil of I got, oh yeah, hold my beer, watch this. I'll get 100 million people to fill in the blank. So I'm glad that you're doing this. I'm supportive of it. Every time we see anything, you know, even though we may not have you come on, you're busy and so on, or we can't coordinate it, but we definitely publish it on Freedom's Phoenix. We make sure people know that the debates are out there. We put them out so that people know what link to go to and where to watch and when. I was interested in the Rumble relationship because...
Hey, thank you for doing that, by the way. Thank you for publicizing it. I'll need to ship you and Donna a fruit pie.
Please don't. I'm trying to lose weight. Send me a bottle of something. Donna likes white wine. I get red.
Oh, Rumble instead.
Yeah, Donna's some white wine. She'll love you a long time. All right, so this is, I'm glad that you came on. We got to talk about this. But it's more than just doing the debate. There's a history to this. Christina has been kind of on the outskirts, edges of, you know, politics and trying to, you know, this isn't fair, you know. And I remember one of the first conversations in 1990 that I had, I was brought to, you know, a big money guy that was doing a ballot, term limit ballot initiative. And he wanted to meet with me because we were making news about whatever. And I go in and I was giving him about, you know, ballot access laws and the stuff that I was coming across and my suit was about and everything. And he goes, what are you going to tell me next? That it isn't fair? Yeah. I mean, it's not what, because he was one of these Politico guys. His thing with term limits is he wanted people in there that he helped get in the office and have them be his guy, that they be bought. They get in there a couple of terms, all of a sudden they got some special interest. They don't need him anymore. That was his concern. And I'm like, wow, from the beginning, I got a dose of everybody was in it for them. Christina Tobin's in it for her, but her motivation is to feel good about doing the right thing. That's always been my impression of Christina. She's not going to stop because she can't. This is something that needs to be done. She's going to do it. And if not her, who? And if you're not going to help her, who? Well, if you're not, somebody else is. And certainly after this election cycle, McDonald's is going to be calling her and wanting to give her a Happy Meal, you know, bonus of, you know, logo something, sticker for the kids I voted, whatever the hell. I mean, you know, you start getting some influence. Here they come. Have they started to come yet? They're going, well, we just need you to this, a little bit
That's
of that
happened.
And not that. Pardon me?
I've already had those sort of offers. I've
of course out. You have. Not Tell me about either. Some.
I mean, in the cigarette industry, alcohol, I have to look up documentations, but when free and equal elections. We sued UCLA because you may recall in 2014, they wrongfully breached the contract and canceled the first annual United We Stand at UCLA Poly Pavilion. We had 10,000 people slated at that event. From now, you know, speakers, Ron Paul, founding member of the Wu-Tang Clan and Public Enemy. And so during that lawsuit, it was a couple days deposition. But in any case, the person handling the case, he saw email that I was offered hundred thousands, half a million, and I turned it down. He just was flabbergasted. And he's like, why did you turn down this money? And I said, because it compromises the movement. And he could not, he did not get it. He kept asking me over and over
again. He's an attorney.
And
they beat that out of him in law school.
He tried to make me feel like a crazy person. And I'm like, you're going to understand one day when you see this movement hit the masses and this documentation is going to go public. Because UCLA offered well over six figures to settle privately and sign a confidentiality. I said, okay, I'll take the money as long as we can host United We Stand at Poly Pavilion again. And they wouldn't agree. Well, then I'm not able to clear my name. I'm going to not take the money. I'm going to go for the win. And fortunately, it was the arbitrator, that is the legal term. The arbitrator fortunately ruled in favor of free and equal elections that UCLA, in fact, did breach the contract and wrongfully canceling UCLA. It was a racist move. It was because they didn't want Public Enemy and Chuck D there. Primarily, I read all the documentations. And of course, the dean, what's his name? Staples, Robert Staples, I think. He'll be in a book one day. He was endorsed by Hillary Clinton. So completely a political move. And I've been offered the sellout options, and even the arbitrator in the suit thought it was crazy for not taking that money. And I explained to him, well, you'll see why one day. And that's how I'm wired, and that's how I will always be wired. So
I'm glad that we're able to share that with the audience. I'll let you go. I appreciate you staying extra time because we had problem, you know, signing up. But this is going to be the beginning for a lot of people, because at Freedom Fest, you know, there's a lot of, you know, libertarians and conservatives and so on that are Freedom Fest people, and that permeates throughout, and it's going to get a little MAGA-ish, you know, because you have, you know, the presidential race that's going on in 24, and I'm like, 24, it's like war and 24. I'm worried about mushroom clouds and fraudulent elections. I mean, and that's why we occupy the land. You go to occupytheland.org and you'll see what we're building out in the desert. You know, we've already started. I had to take today off to do this. occupytheland.org, and then you'll see that I'm busy. I'm building a fortress against. This is like Fountainhead kind of stuff. I'm just like, nope. We're going to have us some fun. But the thing is that if I don't have a society, a culture, a country that can't produce people like Christina Tobin to do the right thing because they believe it's the right thing, to give legitimacy to this process, to there's going to be hope for generations next. There's always a generation next. And if we can't be count on not to be immersed in an ocean of corruption and malintent, then you have revolutions and civil wars and stuff. That's just what happens. Setting the standard and then getting the participation of good people like Larry King was always helpful. Ed Asner, Thomas Massie, Tulsi Gabbard, maybe. This is, you know, I really wish that RFK Jr. probably knew a year ago what he knows now. That would help. And the same thing goes to Trump. Him going in and being in office, he had the opportunity to not do some things or do some things that he didn't do, like release the JFK files. That's an easy one, you know, and he didn't. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So to have optimism and participation in the process and a conduit for Donna and I in the show, Christina Tobin, better than not. But I am kind of, I'm 63 now. We're building. We got, you know, growing grandkids. We're planning for the future. So at some point, You know, you kind of back off a little bit and you can be of service and help, but you count on Generation Next and people like Christina Tobin. Because if you don't have people like this, there is no hope. Because I can't do this forever. So what happens is Christina Tobin, freeandequal.org, go sign up. And what about rebroadcast? Are you going to be selling rebroadcast, or is it just going to be, you know, fully up for free on Rumble forever?
Fully open source. So we've had entities asked to be.
I'm going to have.
I'm like, nope, it's free and open source with the people. And you can sign up for free at freeandequal.org for a live stream reminder.
Very cool. I'm going to go ahead and talk to Colin Cantrell about his software that you guys are using, because that is going to be as important, if not more, in the future of how people are going to be able to connect and represent their preferences in this election outside of the controlled mechanism of they, them, those. And we're going to need our own blockchained, freaking encrypted of they can suck it and they can't manipulate it kind of thing. So I'm glad that you went down that road, because I think it is essential for the future. Christina Tobin, thanks for spending extra time with me. It's always good to see you. Look, you look good. You know, I'm glad you're doing well and you got a bright future for the next few months.
Going
to keep you busy. You know, so thank you very much for coming on. I apologize for the connection problems, but we got worked out. Thank you very much. Christina Tobin, freeandequal.org. Any last word you want to do?
Just do what makes you happy in the world. Give back. And remember that with doing it over and over again, the words of Alan Watts, you inevitably become an expert. And you get a return in what you're doing. And boy, I have quite a return. I get to be around beautiful people in the world and make positive change. So keep doing what you love doing, and just know that it will get back tenfold when you break through. Never, never give up. So thank you so much for your time, Ernie, and everything that you do to spread knowledge and information and truth throughout the world.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're all better. I feel better for my youngins, my kids, my standpoint. You know, it's been interesting to see you progress, and I'm really glad that you've done it. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon, maybe before the your debate in September. Is that a possibility?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernie.
Peace, Christina. Bye bye.